that's all you got, that's all you got. Amen, family. Welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn. We are continuing our series on violence in any type, but we are directed today about human trafficking. And yes, Pastor E and Minister Carolyn will continue to talk real talk discussions, dynamic principles based on messages, and we will worship our God with extravagant respect. And our disclaimer here is, family, we are fully devoted to Jesus. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. With open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man with every opportunity. And yes, through works of charity and by actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and we will reach the lost and unsaved. Well, family, as I said, thank you for joining. Those that are on, there's something going on with any Verizon phone. If your service is connected through Verizon in any way, if you have Spectrum Mobile now, or if you have which other one is Smart Talk, a couple of them that are on Verizon towers, and that if you're on Verizon, that's why, or if the person is on Verizon, that's why they can't get on. And I'm getting messages back to back. I mean, like over 30 texts that I received that I can't get on. I tried one of our ministry phones it's through Verizon and it won't get on either. Says call the courier. I think we had this problem once before years ago with T-Mobile, and we had to send petitions and all kinds of just people threatening to stop because it blocks all third-party lines, all conference lines, all prayer lines and stuff like that. Even though ours is paid to the fullest and we own the service for the Now Network, our number is a one-number call, but it still affects that. So if you guys can keep that up in prayer. So we are blank on our screen. I know Minister Carolyn is here. I'm going to bring her in. We'll talk very, very briefly this morning until we can figure out how to fix this issue and be able to be effective. Right now, I think there's only 5 people on the line. Now, if you're online, I know you can listen no matter what service you have. But if you're on Verizon, that's the reason why we're having it. Let me bring in my hostess, Minister Carolyn Hamilton. Good morning. How are you, woman of God?
Good morning, Pastor E. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Him. This has been a rough morning already.
Already, but, amen, amen. Something spectacular is in the atmosphere.
Has to be.
I believe that.
Are we going to pray in and then start?
Yes, because I'm going to allow you, I'm going to just, as I told you before, I'm going to let you and Inoko just kind of share what you're doing. And like I said, there's not many on, so we're going to do some concept of what we're talking about. And next week we'll be a little bit more prepared. I got caught off guard with this because usually I could find a way to get them to call another number and loop it in, but I haven't had time. So I'll pray us in and then I'll allow you guys to chat and go from there. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to connect, to continue to unify and to become covenant in your word, in your love, and in your relationship, Lord, that we learn to trust you more, Lord, that we learn to rely on you more, but most of all, are reminded to seek you first and your kingdom with your righteousness, and then all things can be added, Lord. So we thank you today, Lord, for that opportunity to submit, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity for this platform. We thank you for every Every covenant partner that's a part of the Now Network, that you continue to grow us, Lord, and to expand us, Lord, and to elevate us to another position to pull someone else up. So have your way today. Move like never before. Remove anything not pleasing in your sight. Lord, you get the glory. You get the honor. And you definitely get the praise. And we won't forget to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just wanted to kind of say something on the beginning of this, because I've been doing some reading on things and looking at human trafficking and the situation that our world is affected with. What it kind of boils down to is just slavery has never left. It went from being attracted to a race, creed, or color to now just being attractive in manipulating and taking advantage of male and females. It's crazy because the average cost, when you look at worldwide, the average cost of a slave, Minister Carolyn, is $90. And that's the own. That's not the $90 a job or $90. That's to actually own. And even I know you can probably attest to this. A lot of the females that we're meeting that are involved in human trafficking are probably bought for less than that and continue to be used daily for what, 10 times that, you know, if they're really on a hot track and doing that. So it's crazy. It's crazy what's going on out there. And I applaud both of you for your efforts to touch and to reach. I thank God I'm in covenant with you that I can continue to pray over and pray with and to stand in the gap and to protect. But I still thank God for your courage and your willingness to not give up, even in the midst of distractions and obstacles and circumstances. That takes a lot. So I just wanted to say that to you guys both, that I'm proud to be connected and thank God for you. Amen.
Amen.
All right, there you go, Minister Carolyn.
Okay, I had you on mute for a minute because I was choking up. It's like everything's going on this morning. Okay, so
remove the choke, Jesus.
Right, in the name of Jesus. But this has to be done. Apparently, something does not want us to continue with this. But the devil is a lie. So we're into human sex trafficking. And I was going down Figueroa, and I happened to see a young man jumping on a girl. Seemed to be a gang member. I wanted to turn around, but my friend told me not to because I could endanger their lives. So I said and I prayed about it. Like, what could I do to help? So, or to get the word of God to them. So I went back and I sat and I watched this one particular girl. She did give me a call back. And I got a little bit more knowledge of the street, you know, their profession. I also got a chance to see firsthand, close up, how she had jumped out of one car and a young girl and how they pushed her. She never went washed up, done anything. He just pushed her back, and at this point, he was hanging with a couple of his homeboys. So I moved from there to Mother's Day. I felt that nobody looked out for the women of the night. Well, why would they? You know, these are, well, you know, what society would say. These are lost souls, people that people don't pay attention to. But something in my spirit told me that I needed to reach out to them and if anything, give them a taste of God. I went out the night before Mother's Day, like on the track, and I seen young girls. I approached them. Some was very scared. Some wouldn't talk to me. I told one of them who I was, a little bit about my story. First, she gave us her street name. Thank you so much. First, she gave me her street name. And then after me and one of the girls from the transitional house began to speak to her, she told me her real name. She said, ma'am, I'm going to give you my real name. So right there, I had formed a little bond. But I told her I didn't want to get her in trouble. And she goes, no, you're all right. And the minute she said it, a guy, I guess he was watching her, yelled her name from across the street. And the smile came off her face. And she immediately made a U-turn and went back the opposite way. Later on, that something told me to get off of Figueroa. Later on that night, I went to Western. And long story short, I wasn't too successful on Western. We ended up trying to talk to one girl. She ran off, and she got on her phone. She made a call, and so I proceeded across the street to another young lady. But a car pulled up. He said something to her. I walked to my car. He made a U-turn. He got behind us. When I drove off, he started following us, so I had to hit a couple of corners. And we got away, and I decided then it was time to come in. So Sunday morning, they say you're supposed to go out in twos. I was going to get air in my tire, but my sister was following me. She had no clue what I was fixing to do. When we pulled up in the gas station, I seen two ladies. I was very, very successful with these ladies. I jumped out. I asked them where their mothers. They were still in their gear, but they were older ladies. And so I asked them where their mothers, told them that I wanted to bless them. I gave them purses with condoms in them, holy oil. And when I asked the lady, could I pray for her, they immediately began to cry. And at first, my sister was a little annoyed, and she started blowing the horn. But I started praying, and she got out the car, and she tapped me on my back. Then she seen that I was in the mold, and these women were actually on the street yelling for God, asking God to help them. And I asked them, don't you want to go home to your children? She said, yes, but we don't have a way. She didn't have a way home. No sooner than she said it, up out the clear, a cab driver pulled up. And he heard me praying for these ladies. And then my sister kind of calmed down, and she said, they were touching you. So I had no choice but to touch you and cover you. You're my sister. And so she stood there, and the cab driver said, lady, he said, what you've done was a marvelous thing. If these ladies want to go home and get off the street, then I'll take them. So that was a miracle for me. You know, it's like God set it up, because I would never have been at that gas station. I don't pump air in my tire. I go let the tire man do it. But I said that to say that this is a battle out here with these young girls, and people are not paying attention. Nadine and I went back Monday, and we started on Rosecrans and Figueroa and Job all the way down. Pastor Ian Enoko, when I tell you, none of these girls were over 18 years old. And then at one point, they all had on fluorescent, like real bright colors. So we knew they had the same pimp. And when we asked them, I would just pull up and say, y'all need some condoms? They were, like, rushing the car like they didn't have them. I mean, grabbing handfuls of them. They were babies. And I don't understand. It was a young lady that's supposed to be on the line today, but she went to the hospital. Her son had asthma or something. And her child was out in the street with a known gang member. She kept trying to get help. She went to the police station, and the police told her there was nothing they could do. They had to catch him in the act. How could you tell us there's nothing you can do when they're on a runaway list or their pictures? At one time, she didn't know where her daughter was, and she was posting flyers around. Then she's telling you exactly who she's with. Giving you the man's name, and there's nothing you could do? I don't understand that. She doesn't know where to get help, who to contact. The only place she knew was the police, and the police department didn't help her any. So that in itself is a problem. And I'm praying, Enoko, that even if nobody is on this line right now, they can replay it back and hear the information that you may have to give them.
Okay. And you know what? One, I want to commend you for your courage, because it takes courage. And that's the thing that a lot of us, it takes courage and the will and of God. And you were covered, as Ephesians said. You had your armor on. And so I am really, really excited about the work that you're doing and that it doesn't go in vain. And one of the things that I'm running across some of the struggles is a lot of the different rules have changed dealing with sexual human trafficking, like if the victim isn't ready to receive help. And I'm like, if that victim is a minor, they shouldn't have any choice. And I understand the politics behind it, because you can pour in, and I've seen this happen personally from working with victims of human trafficking, is that you give them the resources, you put them in the right place, you build them up, you do all the counseling, you work with them for 2 or 3 years, and then they're back out there. But my thing is, so what? Let's start over again and again and again and again and again. And one of the things people don't realize is in the African-American community, and just statistics, you know, looking at African-American young girls are in this sexual exploitation game twice the number of any culture. And one of the things is that when I was reaching for help for our girls, it's really sad that there's not really any organizations led by us, by people of color, by African Americans that can really help these girls. And that the funding or what it takes to do these programs. And when I've worked with victims, the first thing, and especially young African American girls, they will say, "You're the first person that looked like me to come talk to me." Or a parent said, "I had someone come talk to me, but they made me feel like I was so horrible, and they blamed me by saying, well, why did your child run away?" Those are not the questions that we should be asking people. We should be saying, how can I serve you? How can I help you? Give me a little bit more information about what you're feeling and what you're seeing. And this is mandated. Every county, city is supposed to, in law enforcement, have a specialized division for human trafficking. And especially someone under 18, they have a division that is supposed to be actively looking at these cases. So my mouth was dropping when you're sharing that this mom is reaching out to law enforcement. So I do have a program, and it's one of the best programs in LA County that and they have the resources, they have the funding, but they also have some, you know, where the victim, if they're not ready to come in off the street, they want them to at least call them and keep calling them until they're ready and they have all the resources and help. A parent, the same thing. They can also, the program is called CAS, the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking. So the parent can call in there and they can make a report to law enforcement. Because when you have a mandated reporter calling in something, oh, it gets the attention, because that's a whole different tracking. So Carolyn can tell you the story that we all need to hear and take our blinders off. And how we pair up is I'm more of the person who actually work with the victims and the perpetrators and the families, and then keeping up with the data. And I would love to go out with you, Carolyn, because the role that I've had with going out is usually law enforcement, you know, is calling me or I'm working with them to go out. So it's a very tricky and very lucrative industry, because now human trafficking has out used to be drugs, gun trafficking. Right. Now it's human trafficking. And one of the things that I'm really looking at on the forefront right now is how do you stop the demand? Because, see, when you have the issue of drugs in our community, what did they start doing? Locking up the drug dealer and the drug addict. Remember that when crack, remember you have your prisons full, they locked both. See, now today, they're giving these, and again, don't get me wrong, young African-American, the perpetrators, they don't even understand the laws and how stuff has changed. See, before, you so-called pimps would get maybe a couple of years or a year or 6 months. Oh, no, now they're giving you hundreds of years, 50 years, and they're sitting there crying because, again, it's a law that you don't even realize the game has changed, sweetie. The game has changed for you pimps. You guys are looking at the money, but you're not looking at the time that is tagged on. And you move a girl from Compton to maybe South Central, and then you take her to Riverside. Okay, wait, you know what? That's right there, 10 years, 10 years, 10 years. And I've seen young 18, 16-year-old guys who think they're going to get in the game and do this, to grown men crying because they're being sentenced 50 years, and they're like, but I didn't do anything. Oh, yes, you did. And so it's not – my thing is the demand. How do we stop the demand and the people who are actually buying and sleeping with these young girls and exploiting them? Okay, if you give – they're not giving them time. They're getting – they try to do embarrassment tactics like, you know, catch a predator. Do you think that stopped – how long catch a predator been on TV? No, and the demand is going up. It's going up. And in our if you look at the people that are picking up our young African-American girls, look – and when you're out on that street and you see these guys, a lot of them – And I'm throwing it out there, are Latino men, Caucasian men that are picking up our girls. And when you're dealing, and that's why we have the hot right now, there is an epidemic of chlamydia and syphilis. I'm just putting it out there. Yeah. And they're bringing it across the border. And it's so bad. It's so bad. I have a girlfriend that works for disease control. It is so bad and out of control. And if you notice in L.A., there's a whole slew of posters now.
Wow.
You know, so it's, you know what, if we can't stop it, you going out there giving these girls condoms, it's saving their lives. It's saving other people's lives. And it's really, really bad as far as HIV. You know, I'm meeting girls 12 years old, full-blown AIDS. full-blown AIDS.
Yeah.
And then the pimps will actually beat them to death because you bought an STD here, because he's sleeping with them. Now he's something, you know. So I can go on and on. I don't know if I'm just I'm passionate about it. Is there some questions or something that you want me to target and direct? Because like I said, I could go on and on and on.
I have a question. Pastor E, did the number come up for Cherie? Okay, he's busy. Okay, so my question is, you were saying that each police department, each division, is supposed to have a task force or a department?
Yes. They get lots of money for that. For missing.
Okay, so this particular police department told Tayon that they couldn't help her, that they had to catch the people exactly in the act. She had names, numbers, where they be at. I mean, she willingly gave them all the information, and it upset her so much that she told the police in the police station that if she caught him, she was going to kill him. She said they didn't get her for terroristic threats. They didn't do anything. They just told her that they understood how she felt. So at that point, she was.
But how can you understand? Is your child out there? No, you don't. And that's the conversation. You understand what? You understand what? Your child is out there? No, you receive it. You understand the, like I do, the knowledge base, but you don't understand. You have no clue of what I'm going through because your child is not out there. And I am appalled that this law enforcement, what she can do is she call in to WeTip. And that's the thing I tell parents, call WeTip. They got to take every call serious. Call as a person to report a crime, and they got to investigate it and give all the information. So we're going to show you how to backdoor things, too.
Okay, so my question to everybody is like, are you trying to get yourself killed? But, no, I'm trying to get them help. I mean, it's – okay, so the police department. So – would it be out of order to go there and, like, demand or, you know, talk about this issue and demand that they put cars on the street? Because I'm telling you, if that's my spirit, like you said, the Hispanic men come after our girls. When Nadine and I pulled up on this girl, this child was, like, 17 hands at the least. And when I pulled up, he was swinging around and he was talking to her. And I said, shut up and go on about your business. First, he was directed, you know, looking at her. He wasn't paying attention to no cars, nobody. He didn't care. His eyes was on these young girls, and he was yelling ugly things to her. And I just couldn't keep my mouth shut, and I said something to him. But the young girl started laughing. And so I was like, here, baby, come get these condoms because you're going to need them. But for me to see the police is always going after these young black guys, so they call suspect. You know, you could go after, you know, innocent kids that are coming home from school and shoot them, but you can't take your behinds on the street and go to these corners and pick up these perverts that are putting these kids in their car doing who knows what with them. I don't understand that. Why won't the police go out there? So it's like, do we get a petition? Do we demand it? I mean, I know I could be opening a whole lot of doors that a lot of people may not want open, but it's like I got nieces. I never had kids, but I have a lot of kids that I look after that love me and that I love. I don't want to see nobody's child going through this. I don't know. It's just in my spirit to try to save some of these babies. It's just not fair. And then some of their parents, a personal experience, I know a mother that's how she made money to take care of her kids. And then her daughter ended up doing it. So that's how she make her money. And then it goes further, deeper. I'm not going to expose all of their info, but some of these girls are hoeing with their moms.
You know what? And this, and let me tell you, and people are saying, oh, my God, how can they do that? And I tell people, every generation is responsible for the generation before us. So you guys take a step back to the 80s. And when did the crack epidemic hit our community? In the 80s, 90s. It was really bad. But think about who was the drug dealers selling the drugs? It was young kids. So you had kids that was young as 10 selling dope to adults, where in my era, even if there was a drug addict, they weren't going to buy no dope from you. And there was always that code of ethics, even though it was wrong. You know, but you have a whole generation from the 80s, the 90s. Now their parents, and some of them are grandparents, so that whole generation did not learn about respect and honor. Because if I'm 10 or 11 years old and I'm selling dope to my mother's friend, and then she ain't got no money, what is she going to offer me as a 10 or 11-year-old boy?
Right.
And so you have now, if I was 10 in the 80s, how old am I in 2000? Now, I'm a grandparent. Most of these people are grandparents. So if they never was born, if they never had the foundation that we had of learning to honor and to respect Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, no matter what was going on. And so now you have, and then what was shown on TV in the 90s and the 80s? Law enforcement coming into the African-American community with bamarans, with stuff,
yeah,
and exploiting us. So then the world sees that. And sees that about us. So now you have a generation of African Americans who wasn't exposed to the drug trade, but they saw the degrading of the African American population. And so they got a stereotype in their mind. Then on the other hand, you have law enforcement, the sheriff department. Before they can go out on the streets, they got to spend 2 years in the jail. So who's in the jail? Mostly people, Latinos and African Americans. So then by the time they hit the streets, you got three different generations who have been poisoned, is what I said, and they don't think on their own. They have no critical thinking skills to think, I'm going to learn this population on my own, or I'm going to help on my own, or take out the time, because I'm a person of why. Why is this? You can't just tell me because or whatever. I want to know why. What is the root? Because if we can't kill stuff from the root, then it's going to keep growing. And when God destroyed a city, he didn't say, well, I'm going to leave the kids and the cattle. What did he do? He wiped out everybody because he knew if I don't get it at the root, it's going to grow. So going back to my thing about I am on a hunt for the demand, and I was at a conference a month ago with law enforcement, and I asked the question. I said, what are you doing about the demand? And the guy kept talking, no, stop and answer my question. You know what he said? I am so sorry that I don't know. We don't have a question. We don't get funding. He said, we don't get funding to stop the demand. We get funding to help to lock up the pimps and to provide some service to someone who wants it, and that's the change. The person has to want it. So if I'm 12 or 13 years old, how am I going to make that independent decision? How am I going
to
say?
If they try to make the decision, then that's where the pimp beats them. Or
well, the thing is they get them away. And in San Bernardino County, they've even the girls who are chronic runaways, and it's really kind of. It's a twofold. They have a unit in juvenile hall. It's voluntarily, and they keep them there until they can get their mindset, because it's a mindset. And as we all are Christians on this call, God did not make sex for the way that it's happening. And when two people join together, those exchange of spirits. And when I'm doing my training, you got to understand when these girls are out there, everybody they sleep with, their spirit is in them. So when you're talking to them, and the thing is, I could go on and on, it is so much deeper, and you want to say, well, why don't you just stop? Why don't you just stop? Why don't you just stop? It's like someone being, if we all have an addiction, you know, why don't I stop eating donuts and food and certain things? No matter how much I tell myself I'm not, we all have something that's keep enslaving us. And when it comes to sex, people don't understand the dynamics and the demons and all the things that's tied in. So it has to have a spiritual component along with a secular component. And those are the people that the girls and the men that I've seen really change their life around when that spiritual component, and they're delivered from that. Because some of us have not been exploited before, and maybe back in the day you had a wild life, and you think about you're in a relationship with someone, and you can't even have a healthy relationship because of your past of everybody you've been with.
Right.
So think about when you're out there and people are trying to help these people, you can't just look at it as, oh, they're out there, and why are you with that pimp? It goes deeper. And what makes it easier, when you listen to these women's stories, if they're 16 and 17, the first thing I ask is, have you ever been sexually abused? Have you ever been molested? Have you ever been touched? And 99.5 of them, they have. So it makes it easier to go out on the street.
I think what we need to do is,
I would like to have a class where we could be trained and made more aware. I know it's not going to happen all in one day, but you gave us a lot of vital information. I know for me, it's like now my antennas are really up, and while you're talking, I'm like, yeah, I could go in juvenile hall. Yeah, I could do this, or I could bring this to the table, or I could, you know, talk to younger girls about this and about the spirits, them having sex with people and those spirits getting into them. They need to know all of that. So I think that we need to learn more about this. I know I want to be more informed on a lot of the things that you were talking about. I'm going to be trained in, because you know me, I just run in the middle of the field.
But we need those, and so now we know what to pray for you. And I don't want you to lose that courage. But I, you and I, you know me, Sister Minister Carolyn. My thing is excellence, and just let me know, and we can all sit at the table and put this together. And I don't care if one person show up or we just there, because God will eventually send people. And my thing is, we perish due to a lack of knowledge. And like I said, I am asking the question about the demand. And when you have law enforcement saying, we don't get money for that, there's no money for catching a demand. And that we, you know, it's like, are you kidding me? But see, you guys came up with if the black community, these pimps are exploiting Caucasian girls, or you guys would come up with a better solution.
Pastor E, do you have anything you want to say?
No, I was just listening to you guys. I was, you know, me multitasking. We have a busy day today, but no, I'm excited for us doing some more talking. As I said, we have a one number conference line, and we could do some conference calls and some education things for those of us that are out there. I thank God for the grace that's on all of us when we're out there in the streets, because it's not an easy task. It's always opposition when you're out there. But I thank God for each and every one of us being able to support. And as Enoch just said, now we know what area to pray. Well, I've already been covering you in that area, but now we got more people that are covering you in that area. And for my covenant partners out there on the broadcast, as you're hearing us discuss and bring out these things, those are areas you can just take your own assignment and say, oh, you know what? I'm going to pray for that every day. I'm going to cover that every day. And you don't always have to be asked to pray. Just pray. You know what we're doing, and we know we're out there, what the challenges are. But we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and sound mind. So it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And we believe that with the Holy Spirit with us and us abiding by the truth of God, that we'll be just fine. So thank you guys. Awesome. I look forward to fixing this by next week, that we can get others on. For those that have joined us this morning, if something that has been said, it can be addressed by you, maybe in your community, your city, your state, dial one now. We'll bring you in and give you an opportunity to talk with Minister Carol and myself, or Minister Enoko, and give you guys some answers. I really thank you, Minister Enoko, for your informative spirit,
yes,
just willing to give information. That's important. We perish for a lack of knowledge, and the more we can get out there, the better we can do. So thank you again for that.
And I have that number for CAF. If anybody needs that number,
go ahead, please announce that.
Okay. CAF, and that's C as in cat, A as in apple, S as in slave, and T as in transforming. And the number is a toll-free hotline. It's 888-539-2373. Again, 888-539-2373. And what you can do, you can either call as a you can call as a victim, or you can call as a survivor, and you can call as a to report a crime, to report. Okay. And they have resources. But the tricky thing, if you're a survivor, they want the survivor, regardless how old they are, to call in because they have to ask questions and they want that person to feel free and open. So parents, I know sometimes we want to protect our children, but if your child, if they're a survivor or they're willing to get help, they're going to want to talk to them only. You can sit there while they're talking to them, but allow that child to be honest and open about what they're going through. Don't be shocked or surprised. Don't show any emotions. Just show love. Also, for the parents who are having problems with law enforcement, if you've got information about where your child could be, call in as a person to report a crime. So you can call the local Crime Stoppers, or you can call CASE and let them know, CAS, and let them know that you're calling in as a person to report a crime. Also, any parent, anything that a child is disclosing, I'm going to tell you this, they're all mandated reporters. They are going to report it to child welfare, to Child Protective Services, but it's not against you you're not a bad parent, but LA County has a lot of funding for human trafficking in their child welfare department. So I am open to help anyone that maybe who has to deal with child welfare. Minister Carol and Pastor E know how to reach me. I can show you and help you maneuver through that system. I worked for that system for 15 years. So we're not going to leave you prey to, some of us are fearful when you say Child Protective Services, they're going to come in and take my kid. Are they going to take, I don't want to be involved. It's a different day. So if you guys need help with that, Minister Carolyn, I am available 365 days, 24 hours to help you successfully maneuver through that system.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for that. You guys got that information. And if you missed it, you can go back on the archives and listen, or reach out to myself or Minister Carolyn, and we'll share that vital information with you. Thank you again, Inoko. Any closing remarks, Minister Carolyn? All right. I know she's on mute because I heard somebody's baby crying. So God bless you, Inoko.
I pressed it. No, I'm just thank you, and prayerfully we'll get it on point next week, and everyone will be able to call and talk, and the lines will be clear for them to get through.
Amen.
And thank you again, Inoko. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Glory to God.
Glory be to God. All right, you guys enjoy your weekend. God bless you guys. Know you're loved, honored, and appreciated. But most importantly, you were beautifully and God's greatest miracle. So God bless you. Start to act like it.
Oh, I'm glad to say you're mine. If you're